Coming up, a collection of cartoons about the literary world.
An autobiography like none you've ever read.
Plus our distraction of the week. I'm Mel.
I'm Dave. This is the Library of Lost Time.
Tom Gauld is a Scottish cartoonist and illustrator. His short comics are published regularly in The Guardian, The New Yorker, and New Scientist.
Tom Gauld is one of my very favorite cartoonists working today. I love his stuff.
I do too. His comics are really cute and really insightful. And in addition to the short comics that he publishes in periodicals, he's written a bunch of really well-received books.
Yeah.
Recently, he published a children's book called The Little Wooden Robot and the Log Princess. That one is a fairy tale adventure story, and it is painfully adorable. He also recently published Department of Mind-Blowing Theories, which collects the science cartoons he drew for New Scientist magazine.
I've read his work for children, but his adult stuff is just fantastic. He tends to talk a lot about science topics, like you talked about, but he also talks about books and what it's like to be a writer. He kind of covers the literary scene with his cartoons.
His new book is called Revenge of the Librarians. It's 180 pages of the literary cartoons he's drawn for The Guardian. In these comics, he lovingly makes fun of literary tropes. In an interview, he said, "Sometimes the book pages in The Guardian can be a little bit highbrow. I like to treat literary fiction as a genre that can be made fun of."
Yes, he does.
One of the cartoons that made me laugh is his take on my all-time favorite novel, Jane Eyre. In four pink and orange colored panels, Jane confronts Rochester about his secrets. And somehow Tom Gauld, with just five speech balloons, skewers a relationship that takes 500 pages to explain in the original.
Yeah, Tom Gauld is very much the guy sitting at the back of the English class making fun of everybody and everything.
But in a loving way, right?
Yeah, like for sure.
It's clear that he loves books and readers and literature and writers, because you can't make fun of something so well without also knowing it and understanding it really well.
Yeah, he's absolutely done the work to get into AP English, but still.
In another one-panel gag, there's this fantastical landscape and a hobbit and a human are walking through it. And the human says, "This quest was a lot more fun before you got that book on story structure." I mean, it's really nerd humor and it's great. Aside from being smart, his comics are very cute.
Yeah, they really are.
The characters are sort of glorified stick figures made from simple geometric shapes. And they don't have a lot of detail, but they have the right details, so they're very expressive. I'm recommending this book for its bookish humor, but I also want to mention that the object itself is beautiful. It's hardbound with a bright red cover and gold embossing. It would make an excellent holiday gift for the readers in your life. Or you. Gift it to yourself. That's Revenge of the Librarians by Tom Gauld.
My book is The Milky Way, an autobiography of our galaxy by Moya McTeer. This is a very readable general interest science book about the Milky Way, the only galaxy any of us have ever been to. This book is written from the perspective of the Milky Way as an autobiography.
Whoa, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And she's a little haughty, the Milky Way.
That's adorable.
Yeah, a little imperious with some narcissism thrown in. She has no problems dressing down humans and our tiny little rock. It somehow seems appropriate because she's the Milky Way.
Also, she's got a candy bar named after her. What's better than that?
The book seems perfect for people who are curious about our galaxy but don't want to wade into anything overly technical. This might be an adult who skipped physics. This might be a 13-year-old who's just getting started. The author dedicates the book, quote, "to everyone who's ever been made to feel that they're not sciencey enough," whatever that means.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, she covers a lot of ground, from the Big Bang to the fluidity of consciousness to the death of galaxies. And the author herself is fascinating. Moya McTeer grew up in the middle of the woods in the southwest corner of Pennsylvania. She didn't have a TV or heating or running water, but she went on to double major in astrophysics and folklore at Harvard.
Good for her.
Yeah, that's a good jump.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got her PhD from Columbia. She describes her work as, quote, using science to make stories feel rich and stories to make science accessible. This is The Milky Way, an autobiography of our galaxy by Moya McTeer. And now our distraction of the week. I wanted to tell you about something that's not on our usual beat of books and travel, but I think it might be useful to you. It's a site. It's a site that solves the problem of, I wonder if this movie will be too much for me right now. It's a site called doesthedogdie.com.
That is a brutal name.
It is, yeah. It bills itself as crowdsourced emotional spoilers for movies, TV, books, and more. Here's how it works. You go there, you enter the name of a movie or maybe a TV series, and the site comes back with the answer to over 100 questions about the movie's content. And those questions include, does a dog die? Is someone tortured? Are there clowns? Is there hate speech? Is there sexual content? And so on. And as much as possible, those questions are answered without spoiling the movie.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. So, for instance, right now, Mel and I are watching Bad Sisters. It's a series on Apple TV. And if you're into a great Irish revenge story, I recommend it. But is it for you? You go to doesthedogdie.com, and it'll tell you that, for instance, a cat dies on screen and a dog dies off screen. That's not something I would tell you about when I'm recommending it, because it wouldn't occur to me. But now you know, and you can decide whether you want to watch that. The site also gives instructions for skipping over the cat death if you want to do that. But it's also important what it doesn't say. There's not a lot of other potentially problematic content in that series. It's not overly gory or challenging. The site seems like it might be helpful if you're sensitive to a particular subject, but also if you're trying to figure out if you're up to watching the latest thing that everybody else is going on about. It also seems super handy for watching a movie with your family or your children.
Good one.
So this is here for you if you're trying to avoid graphic sex scenes while watching something with mom and dad or the kids.
Mm-hmm. My biggest question right now is, life is so challenging. I'm trying not to watch things that have a lot of feelings in them. I wonder if this site will tell me that. It's safe for you to not have feelings, Mel.
Yeah, I don't think it does. DoesTheDogDie.com also has an app, so you can quickly check out a movie on the sly if you need to.
This sounds like it would be really useful for books.
It does, and they say they cover books, but I'm very skeptical. The book coverage seems pretty thin to me. For instance, it had multiple movie versions of Stephen King's Carrie, but not the book. Mm-hmm. But take a look if you're looking for a fast way to suss out a movie or a TV show. This is doesthedogdie.com.
Visit strongsenseofplace.com/library for more details about the books we discussed and doesthedogdie.com.
Thanks for joining us in the Library of Lost Time. Remember to visit your local library and your independent bookstore to lose some time yourself.
Stay curious. We'll talk to you soon.